Scripture reading this morning will come from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. For this we say to you by the Lord, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Paul, and good morning, everyone. It is good to see each of you here today. We're glad that you're here. Especially if you're visiting with us, we want you to know how happy we are that you have chosen to worship with us today. We're going to wrap up a series this morning concerning Jesus, and we began this series way back at the first of the year. So this is the 13th session. We began by looking at the pre-existence of Christ, and then we've moved forward and forward and forward. And we have talked about his trials and his arrest and the crucifixion and the burial and the ascension. And now we're going to the resurrection, rather, and the ascension. And now we're going to fast forward to something that hasn't occurred yet, but that will. And that is, of course, the second coming of Jesus. The story goes that there was a certain young preacher who decided he was going to preach a sermon on the second coming of Christ, and he wasn't going to use any notes. Now, I know better than to do that, but this young fellow didn't. And so he wanted to make a dramatic beginning, and so he looked at the text of Revelation 22, verse 7, where Jesus said, "Behold, I come." So the young preacher began by saying, "Behold, I come." And then he couldn't think of what he was supposed to say next. And he kind of thought, well, you know, if I really get into this, it'll come to me what I'm supposed to say. So he said a little louder, "Behold, I come." And he still couldn't think of what he was supposed to say next. So he said, well, I've got to put my whole being into this. So he backs up and says, "Behold, I come." And he launched himself right out into the front row, into the lap of a good old sister that was sitting there. And so he picked himself up off the floor, and he's dusting her off and saying, I'm so sorry, sister, I didn't mean to do that. And this good old lady looked at him and said, "It's all right, sonny. You warned me three times you was a-coming." But anyway, I want to be appreciate a little humor now and then, but I want to be totally serious about looking at the second coming of Christ, because it is very, very important. There's a lot of confusion that abounds about the second coming of Christ. And as with other matters, where are we going to go to find the truth about the second coming of Christ? We're going to go to the Bible. That's the source book. God's word is truth. Jesus said that in John 17, 17. The word of God is truth. And so let's look today at what the word of God actually says and doesn't say about the second coming of Christ. And we need to begin by just affirming the simple fact that Jesus is coming again. He promised this to his disciples in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard this many, many times. "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Jesus promised that he is coming again. He knew that he was going to the cross. He was going to the tomb. He was going to be resurrected. He was going to ascend. And as we talked about last week, he was going to sit down at the right hand of God the Father and there reign over his kingdom. But he also knew he was going to come again and take his people home with him to live with him forever. So Jesus himself promised that he is coming again. And we looked last week at Acts chapter 1, verse 11, concerning the ascension of Jesus. When the disciples were kind of standing there with their mouths wide open, and you would too, I hope, see such an amazing sight as Jesus ascending through the clouds and going into the heavens. And you remember what the angel said? Why do you stand looking into heaven? This same Jesus that you see going will come again in like manner as you have seen him go. And so a holy angel of God says Jesus is coming again. The apostles taught that Jesus would come again, as Paul read for us just a little while ago from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. And he concludes that, comfort one another with these words. Those are comforting words. I cannot count the number of times that I've used that very passage at a cemetery as we prepare to return the body of a loved one to the earth from whence it came. And we look at that passage and we derive comfort from the fact that that's not the end. There is more to come. Jesus will come again, and he will indeed raise the dead. When we look in 2 Peter, in chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 4 also, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? All right, so Peter says, you can expect people to mock at the idea that Jesus is coming again. He promised that he would, but they're going to mock at the idea that he will actually fulfill this promise. Drop down to verse 8. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that one day with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's not a math formula, by the way. That's not a math calculation. That's simply meaning that time, you know, the perceived delay in Christ's coming doesn't mean one thing to God. God doesn't operate on time. God says, I'll do as I do. And it's up to us simply to be faithful and to wait and to believe what he says. It has been how many years since Jesus made that promise? And we might think, well, all those years, surely he didn't mean what he said. He's failed to fulfill his promise. No. Don't put God on a timetable. Jesus will indeed come again. We continue reading verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God hasn't forgotten what he's doing, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We should look at that, what we perceive of as a delay, as an opportunity for us to get our lives right with God and to help others to get their lives right with God before Jesus comes again, which he will. Verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. So there it is, Peter affirming it again. The day of the Lord will come. As a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and works that are in it will be burned up. So yes, the day of the Lord will come. Jesus is going to return. when we turn over to just a page or two into the second chapter of 1 John. In chapter 2, let's drop down to verse 28 and read on through the third chapter, the second verse or thereabouts. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, that's talking about Jesus appearing, when he comes again, when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, there it is again, Jesus is coming again, John says. When he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So yes, indeed, Jesus is coming again. So what's the question that everybody wants to know? When? Is it going to be today? Tomorrow? February the 28th of 2033? I picked that date right out of the air, right out of my fertile imagination. When is it going to happen? Easy answer. I don't know. Neither do you. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour. What day or hour? Read previously, when the heavens and the earth pass away, which we just read from 2 Peter chapter 3, when Jesus comes again. So, no one knows the day or the hour. If folks would just look at that passage, it would do away with so much weirdness in the religious world. Because people would stop trying to second guess God and say, well, I've got it figured out. I know when it's going to be. Early on in the second century AD, there was a group called the Montanists who tried to figure it out. Well, we know when he's coming. It's going to be on this certain day. Guess what? It wasn't. And so that sect kind of died out. And then we look at Mr. William Miller. William Miller was the founder, sort of what now is called Seventh-day Adventist Church. He decided in 1843 that he knew the exact time when Jesus was going to return. And he told his followers, this is the date. I've looked through all these Old Testament prophecies, and invariably they run to Old Testament prophecies that they do not understand and try to figure out the return of Christ from there. Well, I've got this chart, and I've got this all figured out. It's going to be on this date in 1843. All his followers get ready for that. The day comes and goes, and it doesn't happen. Well, here's what happened. I just made a mistake in the chart. It's going to be in 1844, not 1843. That's been a day or two ago, hasn't it? The day and time comes in 1844, and it doesn't happen. And William Miller kind of fades from the scene. And the quote-unquote prophetess Ellen G. White comes on the scene, and she takes over, and she is the prophetess of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to this day. But the size of it is, his prediction failed. These date setters invariably fail. Every now and then you'll have somebody from the Jehovah's Witnesses or Watchtower Society, as it's sometimes called, who will knock on your door, and probably they'll want to say, well, do you realize that we're living in the end times? Yeah, I realize that. We've been in the end times for nearly 2,000 years now. But what they mean is the end is right around the corner. Except how many times have they predicted the end? It was supposed to be in 1914. That's been a day or two ago. That didn't work out, so they changed it to 1918. That didn't work out, so they changed it to 1925. I'm thinking, how many times do we change before we give up and say we don't have a clue? And that didn't work out, so I have a book in my library. I'll show it to you if you want me to. Called Life Everlasting and Freedom of the Sons of God, that says in plainest of terms, the end of, they call it the end of the present order of things. Okay, so that simply means the end. And they said it would be in 1975. I'm not sure whether they have made any official predictions since that time or not, because when that didn't happen, they lost a freight car load of people. They lost some people that said, hey, that's enough. You know, we sincerely believed that it was going to be 1975 and it didn't happen. And so enough already. But anyhow, these date setters, as we said, are invariably wrong. Remember Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth? If you're as old as I am, you probably remember when he was going strong. And the end, since Israel was officially made a nation in 1948, and there's 40 years in a generation, then the end has to come no later than 1988. Let's see, 88, 89, 90, 91. And we're all the way up to 2025, and Hal Lindsey is still creating videos and making millions. And I'm thinking, how many times does he have to be wrong before you say, I'm not going to buy your video? And I don't know what the answer to that is. Nobody knows. Well, but wait a minute. What about the signs? The signs. Read Matthew 24. And look at all the signs that are supposed to occur. You know, here's Russia invading Ukraine. That's got to be a sign. Here's Israel and the Palestinians having all these difficulties with the terrorist group Hamas and all these others. That's got to be a sign that Jesus is just going to come any day now. Listen, the famines and the earthquakes and the wars and rumors of wars and all those things have been abused by what I call these doomsdayers and prophecy mongers just to produce more videos and books and make more money. And it's always, every time there's a skirmish in the Middle East, oh, it's a sign of the end. These things have been going on since Ishmael insulted Isaac. That was a day or two ago. They'll continue to go on. They just will. And it's not a sign of the end. The signs in Matthew 24, the first half of Matthew 24 pertain to the destruction of Jerusalem. When he says, when you see Jerusalem encompassed by armies, don't go and get your stuff and then leave, just leave. Okay? So how would that apply to the second coming of Jesus? It doesn't. Doesn't mean a thing. Those who were disciples of Jesus, when they saw the Romans surrounding Jerusalem, they got out and escaped. Those who didn't believe got slaughtered. When the Romans finally came in and sacked the city and slaughtered untold thousands, perhaps even millions of people, that was the fulfillment of all of these signs. And yes, there were signs that took place before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. But there will be no signs preceding his return. How do we know that? When we read the rest of Matthew 24 that does pertain to the return of Christ, Jesus talks about the fact that life will go on as usual. People will marry and give in marriage, and they will eat and drink. That's normal behavior. That's just everyday life. Life will continue just like it always does until Jesus comes, and it will be totally unexpected. I think after the service is over today, we're going to eat and drink. Are we not? We've got that planned. That's just normal thing. I don't know anybody that's getting married today, but I'll dare say there will be many people today somewhere around this world who will get married. So there will be marrying and giving in marriage. That's just normal behavior. It's not a sign that Jesus is coming. It's just life as usual. In the Thessalonian letters and Peter's letter describe the coming of Christ as being like a thief in the night. When is the last time a thief gave you a sign that said, "I'm coming"? You know, he sticks a sign out in your front yard, "I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock to steal your stuff." That wouldn't be very bright, would it? You'd be there with your shotgun, and he would not steal your stuff. So when it talks about his coming as a thief in the night, it's unexpected. It's unannounced. You don't know in advance. We don't know anything except that Jesus said he's going to come. As far as the when, it's not our business to know. We're not told. How many signs does a thief give? He doesn't give any. And Jesus has not given signs that indicate he's going to be there really soon. So what will and will not happen? Hebrews 9 verse 27 says it is appointed to man to die once, and after this the judgment. There's no indication there, or anywhere else in Scripture for that matter, that there's going to be a second chance for those who failed to believe and obey the gospel the first time. Say, well, you might be dead and in the ground, but when Jesus comes again, you'll get another chance. Or sometime after you die, you'll get another chance. Nope, that's not going to happen. Neither will there be the establishment of an earthly kingdom, as many are expecting. And we talked about this at length last week, and I don't want to overdo it, but let's refresh our memories that the kingdom of Christ is here now. And if you are a member of the Lord's church, you are part of, you are a citizen in the kingdom of Christ. Jesus reigns on the throne of David in heaven today. That happened at the ascension, remember? He offered his blood as the atonement, and then he sat down at the right hand of God, his priestly work being done, the atonement being made, and he received a kingdom, just like was prophesied by the prophet Daniel. And so the kingdom of Christ is here now. He's not going to return to establish a kingdom, but rather look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 and 24. When the Lord returns, what will he do? He will deliver the kingdom back to the Father. So, when he comes, he will raise the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. We read earlier from 1 Thessalonians 4:16, and we think of the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. The hour is coming when all who are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God and will come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So yes, Jesus will indeed raise the dead, and he will, as we just read, judge every one. And we get that also from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, as we see the judgment taking place there. Those who have done the will of God, the will of Christ, being welcomed into eternal salvation, those who have not, being sentenced to eternal torment. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, again in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so, yes, he will indeed judge every one. And as we read a while ago from 2 Peter 3, he will destroy the material creation. And then he will take the redeemed home to heaven. And we've seen the passages on that already, so we'll not rehearse those again. Destroy the material creation and take the redeemed home to heaven. So let's conclude. Jesus is coming again. There's no doubt about it. He said so, the angels said so, the apostles said so. He's coming again. That's a fact. When? Don't know. What will he do? He will raise the dead, he will judge the world, and he will destroy the material creation and take the redeemed home to be with him in heaven. That's the nuts and bolts of what we're looking at the second coming of Christ. So the question for you this morning is, if he came right now, and I don't know whether he will or whether he won't. He could come while we're singing the invitation song, for all I know. Or it could be another 10,000 years. We simply don't know. Our job is not to try to figure out when. Our job is to be ready. And my question for you is, if he came right now, would you be ready? Have you confessed with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Have you turned away from sin in sincere repentance? Have you put him on in baptism, immersion in water for the remission of your sins? You need to do that. If you've not done so, you need to do that today. And now is the time that we're offering you to make that need known, or any other spiritual need that you might have, as we're standing and singing to encourage you.